If you haven't been with us before, welcome anyway. We've seen lots of new people who have moved here from really interesting places like Seattle and Dallas and a variety of other places around the world. So if you look around and you see somebody that you don't know, please make a new friend. And if you find out that they've been studying with us for 20 years and you didn't know them anyway, that's okay. Still make a new friend. It's all right. Why don't we start by singing our kind of theme song, I suppose it is. Wait. Oh, Shannon. Before we do one more thing, let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of today and for the gift of these friends who have been together for a while and new friends we have the opportunity of meeting this week. Thank you so much for the smiles and the laughter and the fragrant aroma of Christ that comes into this room with them. I just thank you for that. I pray, Father, that the technology today will not be a distraction to us, but that we can hear exactly what you want us to hear. Open us, our eyes and our ears, to hear you afresh. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're just throwing all of this away. As I said, welcome. Anybody who's brand new to the study this year, would you raise your hand? See, there's one in the back. One. Yay! We're so glad you're here with us. I won't say you old members, but you longtime lamplighters, look around and make them feel welcome. It's an opportunity to make a new friend. I'm going to start off today by shouting out a welcome to our Lamps on Location sisters. We don't see them on Wednesday mornings, but they are very much a part of us. And that is the group that meets on Wednesday night, Thursday noon, and Monday night. And this year, we have a special shout out to a group that is tracking with us out of Utah. Occasionally, we have people who find us somehow or another online. We've had them from Idaho. We've had them from Iowa. Thank you, Dawn. And this year we've got one from Utah, so if they may be doing Exodus, but if they hear this, welcome. Welcome to the circle. We're going to start off by introducing some very important people so that you will all get to know them. They're the ones who actually make this whole thing flow smoothly. And one of them is Shannon Nisley. Please, there you are in the back. Shannon is our administrator, our IT person, our computer guru, the left and the right brain. If you need to know anything, ask Shannon because she knows everything, okay? Also, Lynn Adams back there in the back, if you would raise your hand, stand up. Lynn is the other left and right brain, knows everything. If Shannon doesn't know it, Lynn knows it, so you can get in touch with her. She's part of the teaching team, which also includes Meredith Weatherby and Laura Tuma and some special guest appearances from people this year that you will be enjoying a lot. Where's Susan Antonowitz? Is she here today? Is she? Well, when we see her, thank her for your name tag. And thank her especially for doing the names large enough that I can read them. I would encourage you to wear your name tags every week. Your small group is going to know each other pretty quickly, but in the interest of the whole group getting to know you, wearing your name tag is important. And I am my own best illustration today because I had my name tag in my Bible, and then I picked up another Bible to come. So I left it at home. I will promise I will have it next week. If you're new and you don't have a name tag, be sure that you is Shannon, there's a sign-up sheet? There's a sign-up sheet on the table. Be sure and sign up there. If you have had a name tag before and you have lost it, or before you request a new one, go home and look again. And then if you can't find it, put your name down for that, and Susan will get those to us. And the other one is Jean Westfall, who shares with – where did you go, Jean? Over there. There you are. Who so graciously shares her talents on the piano with us. We really appreciate that. Okay. Housekeeping. We are going to assign small groups today, and you know we always wait a week to do that because we have walk-ins that we like to welcome, and so we're going to stay afterwards today and get small groups assigned. You will hear from your small group leader probably the first part of next week, so either listen for that phone call or check your email, and she will be getting in touch with you. Let's see. Lessons can be found on the website. Oh, there's Susan Antonowitz. Wave your hand. She is the one who keeps us knowing each other, which is really good. You can go to the website, which the website address is right up there, www.lamplightersbiblestudy.com. Our study is on there, but I will tell you that we had a problem with formatting this year. Some of you can print, some of you cannot print. So our sweet Shannon is going to work. This is a labor of love, folks. She has to take those off the website, reformat them, and put them back on. So we are telling her not to stress out over this, but she will have the first lesson up probably next week, so you'll have it for the week after that. And then wait several weeks, and then you can probably get them all at the same time. So is that right? All right. Are there any other announcements? No. Okay, Lynn. It's still not working. We'll just advance the slides. Lynn's going to do an inductive review. This is going to be fun. Let me open the Bible. Oh, you're going to have it up here. You can open your Bible to Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. Oh, here. Just shove me over there. Lynn? It's the first day.
Okay, that sound good? No? Is that better? Okay. Well, as Jan said, I'm Lynn Adams, and y'all will see me up here periodically this year, and I am just so thankful that you all allow me to come up here and speak, because it's really one of the biggest gifts in my life to be able to come to Lamplighters and be in the Word with each of you. I learned so much when I come to Lamplighters, and it's because of all of you that I learned so much. So I'm very thankful to you. Now, I want to start this morning, and this is new for me this year, so get used to it. I even tried to print this bigger, but I can see that I'm still like, oh, I don't know about that. Okay, so I want to start this morning, and I'm going to ask you all a question. Why do we study the Bible? This is interactive. Go ahead. Give me some answers. Yes, Jean. Because it's the way God speaks to us. Anybody else want to throw anything in? Katrina? To learn more about God. Yes. Anybody else? Draw closer to Him. Thank you, Paige. so we can share with others. Thank you, Nancy. Okay, these are all fantastic reasons. I read an interesting article a few years ago, and it was from a man who was a pastor at a mega church in the Chicago area. And it was one of these churches that just kept growing and growing and growing, and they had this vibrant congregation, you know, with small groups and just all different kinds of things. But the founder of this church, his name was Bill Hybels, he had what he called a holy restlessness. Just something didn't feel right to him, and he kind of, you know, prayed about it and thought about it. And the question that he came up for himself was, we've got lots of people coming to this church, but how can I tell if they're growing spiritually? So they decided that they were going to try and determine the level of spiritual growth in their church with their members. And so they did a survey, and the survey had only two questions. And the first question was, have you grown more in love with God in this last year? And the second question was, have you grown more in love with your neighbor? So using the answers to those two questions led them to discover that only 10% of their congregation felt they were growing in any way in their faith. And remember, this is a vibrant church. So they did a second study to try and figure out what it was with this 10%. What was happening with them that they felt like they were growing and the other 90% wasn't? And what they found out when they did that was in this 10%, these people were dedicated to daily meditating, studying, praying, and most importantly, being in the Word. They did a daily quiet time where they were actually in Scripture, reading the Word of God, building a relationship, and that is what was causing them to grow in their faith. Now, this is just something that they practiced. Notice I didn't say perfected, because we never perfect this. But because of that, you can take the lesson that doing a daily Bible study is what's going to deepen your spiritual life. So that is why, I think, that's the most important reason why we do this. And that's why you all are here today. Because that's where the actual transformation and growth comes. It doesn't come by talking to people. It comes by talking to people about the Word. We have to be deeply rooted and grounded in the Word. So that's why it's critical. Now, I want to talk about how we do that. There are so many ways to study the Bible. And here at Lamplighters, we have decided, I think it was in 2006, we decided that we would do this inductive Bible study method. Yeah, you're going to have to look at my slides. I don't know what's what. I don't think I have one yet, Shannon. Yeah, I don't have one yet. So what inductive Bible study does is it teaches us to think critically. We can pick up the Bible and look at it, and we can learn how to recognize God's voice when we hear it. We can look at scripture passages, and we can learn them without putting our own biases in those. We can look at it strictly as the Word of God, so that we can recognize, for one thing, false teachings, and we can recognize the truth when we're out sharing the truth. And when we apply this truth, that is what causes us to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, because that's our goal, right? So this inductive Bible study method is a method you can use anywhere, because all you have to have is a Bible. You don't have to have a special study guide. You don't have to have a teacher. You don't have to have a whole room full of people. You can just pick up your Bible anytime, anywhere, open it up, and learn from what is in front of you. So how do we do that? Well, what we know is that the Bible is God's Word. It is how He speaks to us. He loves us, and because He loves us, He wants a relationship with us. And in order to have that relationship, we have to go to Him. He's there all the time, but we have to open our hearts and our minds, and we have to go to Him to have this relationship with Him. And when we do that, He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that little voice that you hear when you're reading Scripture, when you're praying, that helps you know that you're in communication with God. So in inductive Bible study, there are three broad questions that we ask Scripture when we're reading it. Now, this is a discipline, this inductive Bible study. It's something that is structured and it's something that we practice. But it is not meant to be rigid or inflexible. It's a guideline. So as I'm going through this today, you know, I'm one of those people that if I see a bunch of boxes, I have to check them all. Now, that's not what this is about. You're not going to be able to check all the boxes every time. So just use this as a guideline. So the first one that we're going to talk about is observation. And that is strictly, what does it say? Read this. And what does it say? And I will encourage you this year, you know, a lot of us, have been through Matthew a time or two. So some of these passages are going to seem very, very familiar. So what I want you to do is really sit down, focus, remove all the distractions, and try to hear it like it's the first time you've ever heard it. Sometimes that's challenging, but it's very important that you do that. And in the second part of it is interpretation, and that is, what does this mean? What are Christians supposed to learn from this? And then the third part is the application, and that's the really specific part. That's, what does it mean to me, and how am I going to apply this in my life? So I was doing a little bit of research to figure out how to kind of talk about this inductive Bible study to you all, and I came across an article written by a man named Brian Tabb. And he called these three steps, the observation, interpretation, and application, he refers to them as the three L's. And I actually think this is a simpler way to do it if you want to write this down. And his three L's are look, which would be the observation, listen, which would be the interpretation, and learn, which is the application. So look, listen, and learn. If those terms are a little bit more simple for you to see and to understand. So right now we're going to talk about, and what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the first two verses of lesson one. And I know that seems like, oh, that's not very much, but trust me, it's a very dense two verses. And we're going to do this communally, okay? So this is interactive when I ask these questions. And if y'all want to take notes and write it down, you'll have the first two verses of your first lesson done. Yeah, get a little jump on 2 weeks from now. Okay, so the first thing that I want to encourage everyone to do that we should all know without me having to stand here, but I'm standing here and saying this because I'm one of the people who always forgets to do this, is pray. Pray before you sit down to your Bible study. So let's do that right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just quiet our hearts and remove any outside distractions and help us to have a willingness to receive you in our hearts, to hear the truth that we are about to hear and to put it into our lives. And I ask that in your Son's name. Amen. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do when we do inductive Bible study is we're going to read. Duh. But what I would advise you to do is read through the whole lesson. Read it through once. And what you might want to do, since we've got 2 weeks, is you might want to take time in this next 2 weeks and read through the entire book of Matthew. If you've looked ahead, you will see that there are lots of parts in this book that we are not going to study this year. We're just going to take sections of it. So it might be a good time just to read it and become familiar with it before we actually start our Bible study. But each week, what I encourage you to do is print out your lesson and read through one time. And then what I want you to do after you read through it once is read through it a second time, but read through it out loud. We all know that the Bible was originally oral, and that's how it was passed down. There's something about hearing something out loud that is different than just reading it. So sometimes if you will do that, it'll help you hear things that you wouldn't otherwise hear. And then you can read it a third time and just really meditate on it. Sit quietly. Think of what words stand out. Just listen for the Holy Spirit. If you're not getting anything at this time, then pray again. Maybe walk away for a couple of hours and come back, because the Holy Spirit will work on you to hear something. All right, and then after you've done that, it's time to start asking the questions. Do not rush through this part. This goes back to the part I said where it might seem really familiar. Really think, okay, I've never read this before. Let's start asking some of these questions. Spend time sitting in each section that we do today. So the observation section typically is where you're going to spend the most of your time each week when you're doing your Bible study. It's the foundation of this lesson, and you're going to build the next two sections on what you find in this observation. So be very literal when you listen to the text. Try to get any of those preconceived notions about what's coming up next out of your head and just start listening with fresh ears. Ask the questions and start looking for the facts. And then you can start writing it down. So let's give it a try. If you'll go back, so we'll do these first two verses. And I'm just going to read it out loud now. But when you're at home, read it once quietly and then read it out loud. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Okay, Shannon, you can go to the next slide. So again, we may not have answers for all of these questions. Just use them as your guide. We're going to look for what the passage says. So what did y'all hear? Just start throwing them out. There's a crowd. There's Jesus. They're on a mountain. He sat down. The disciples were there. He was teaching them, probably talking. See, it's not that hard. I mean, we overcomplicate this, I think, sometimes. So the questions that you ask yourself during observations are who, what, when, where, how, and why. Just all those good reporter questions. And this is also the time when you're doing your first lesson, that you would encourage you to come up with a summary. There's a little summary section at the bottom. I don't think we need to do a summary today, but when you get to the end of the lesson, do a summary. Okay, so the next is interpretation, and this is going to be the listen part. What does this text mean, specifically to us Christians? But what does it mean? So the aim of this section is to bring out the meaning for the original passage, the original audience who was listening to it, but also for those of us who are reading the text today, because we know this is not about back then. God's word is living and active and alive, and it's for us to hear today. So there's something in there for us. This is going to draw conclusions about the text. When you're doing this, look for aspects of God's character, maybe some biblical principles, truths, repeated words or phrases, relationships between words, phrases or thoughts, figures of speech. Those are the kinds of things that we want to look for when we're doing interpretation. We can look for anything that we might need to be defined. If you come up with, a word that's has a definition that you don't understand, look up that definition so you can really understand what we're doing. And just start writing down anything that comes to you. Ask the questions of the text. Why? As I said before, you may not be able to answer all of them. You may just have to sit with them for a while. And sometimes it'll hit you at the strangest time. 3 days later, that's what it was. And then you can write it down. So let's, wait a minute. First, let's say you can overanalyze this. Don't make every single thing have some kind of special meaning. Sometimes the word "the" is just the word "the." This is sort of an intellectual exercise, right? It's experiential, it's contemplative, and that's what you want to do when you're looking at it. Do, by all means, let Scripture interpret Scripture. That's a phrase that you may or may not have heard before, but basically what it means is we've all heard people take a little snippet out of the Bible and use it in a way that we know is not biblical. We're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. It's because the Bible is a whole. And what we always want to do when we take something out of it is remember how that relates to the whole. So you hold it up to the whole of Scripture. So that's what it means when we say let Scripture interpret Scripture. If you're not sure, find it somewhere else in the Bible because it will be in there. Okay, so are y'all ready to interpret? Yes? When we read the Word, He will teach us. Yes? Yes, that's such a good lesson for all of us. Jesus was not rushed. He sat down. Yes. So Jesus chose to sit down, probably in an act of humility. He's not standing up over them, making them, you know, feel intimidated. That's a good one. Which made it more intimate when he actually sat down with them. I thought I saw, yes? Yeah. So what Jan said is there were a multitude of people, and what Jesus had, what he said, his presence was so compelling that these people actually followed him up a mountain to be with him to hear what he had to say. That's a magnetism that's pretty powerful. Why were they so attracted to him? That's a good question. What is it that made them feel like they couldn't do without him? Yes.
Why did he just teach to his disciples instead of to the whole crowd?
The question is, why did he sit and teach to his disciples instead of addressing the whole crowd?
He's a teacher.
So when he was talking to the disciples, he knew that their time was coming. They were going to have a lot of responsibility. Is it interesting to you all that we've taken two verses and already found this much in two verses? I want you all to remember that because this year we have some really short lessons. And your temptation might be, when you print that lesson out and see it, your temptation might be, oh, I can do this on Tuesday. There's hardly anything in here. Please do not do that. This is a very rich book that we are reading. And if we can sit here in this room with two verses and come up with this many, I mean, we've come up with way more words than are actually in the verse, right? It's what I'm going to encourage you all to do this year. Okay, anybody else want to add any interpretation before we go on? Okay, let's go on to application. This is the learning part. This is how must I respond? And I want you to think about that, ladies, because there is a call to respond in every application. It will be personal to you. If you don't think there is one, keep digging deeper. Maybe ask one of your friends, hey, what do you see in me in this passage? Sometimes other people can see things in us that we can't see in ourselves. This is the part that's going to take the Bible from informational to transformational. We have to put these words into action. So let's look at some of these questions. What is God saying to me personally? Is there something in my life? Is there an attitude that I have towards myself or other people? Is there a relationship or a situation in my life? Maybe it's family. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's church. Maybe it's a neighbor. Do I have a sin that I need to confess? Maybe the passage is meant to encourage you, right? Maybe it's that little kick you need to be spurred on to take the next step. There is a lot of encouragement in the Bible. It's not all about pointing out our sins. It's also very encouraging, which is very comforting. So when you get to the application, give yourself, I would say, a couple of days. Sometimes you're going to be studying this, and you're going to know immediately. You're going to get that feeling in the pit of your stomach of, oh, gosh, yeah, this is directly at me. I need to change this. Other times you're not really going to know. But if you sit with it for a while, something will probably come to you. I think, y'all are getting tired of me doing this because I hound y'all about this every year, but the application is critical to coming to Bible study. We are not in here to become Bible scholars. We are in here to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And the only way that that happens is when we take what we are hearing and we put it in our lives and apply it to ourselves and make the changes that need to be made. Sometimes it's so easy to say, oh man, I got to get my husband to read this one because I can see where he needs to change, or my friend or my neighbor. Take those glasses off and turn that inward and look at yourself, okay? So the application part is kind of a tricky one because, you know, we're going into these small groups, which y'all are going to be so lucky. It's one of the greatest gifts of Lamplighters, I think, is this small group community. And y'all will have time next week to get to know the people in your small group before we start this. But it can be a very vulnerable place, especially when you're confessing something that is a really hard thing for you to confess. I would encourage you to try and share it with your group. And you may not be able to. You may not be able to right now, and maybe in the later in the year you are. If you can't share it with your group, find someone to share it with. I learned something about confession this summer that made a real big impact on me, and it was about making a confession out loud. I have a couple of things in my life that I feel like I have confessed, you know, for 15 years, and this very specific thing just keeps coming back. And when I was told you need to confess it out loud, it just really hit me because what I realize is oftentimes when I confess, I'm not really looking at myself clearly and what I have done. And it's very easy in my silent time with my Creator to say something like, oh yeah, I'm doing that again, you know, and not really giving it shining the spotlight on it. And to make that confession out loud, to hear yourself say what you were doing with your own ears, brings a vulnerability to you in front of God that is what he needs to have in order for us to move on, in order for him to forgive us and move on. Sometimes you're going to find that in your application. I don't want this to sound like it's so heavy that you're afraid of it, because your application may be something very simple. It may be something like, I am convicted because the disciples sat at Jesus' feet while he taught. I am convicted to sit down every single morning from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, sit at Jesus' feet with the Word open and study it. That's an application, and that's a very valid application. When you have an application, that's how it needs to be. It needs to be very specific. It needs to be measurable. You need to be able to know if you're doing it or not doing it. Don't be really general, like, I need to be in the Word more. Well, how are you going to do that? Oh, I'm going to do it every morning from 6 to 7. And then the third thing that helps me, which is what I'm talking about right now with this small group situation, is you need to find a way to be accountable. If it's your, you know, best friend, if it's someone in your small group, if it's a neighbor, whoever it is, if you make yourself accountable to someone else, then they can say to you, hey, how's that going? And you can get back to what the changes that you need to make. Because, you know, if it's hard especially, we like to kind of get away from it. So let's look at the application and see if y'all can come up. I kind of gave y'all one already. But see if you can come up with a different one than the one I just gave for these two verses. think back to the observations that we made and the interpretations and see if there's anything in those that you can bring into your life. We talked about, okay, yes.
I didn't call my mom, and I thought, okay, I'll do that while I'm packing, not just sit down.
Yeah.
I need to call her, but I need to sit down.
Yeah.
And talk to her, or I will go, but not too much.
So this is a lesson about maybe just sitting down and taking the time to do something that you keep saying that you're going to do, and not be rushed. That's a good one. Any other ones? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Well, let's see if the group can come up with it. Okay, so what Martha is saying is the first thing that made her think was, am I part of the crowd or am I like the disciples? And so we come up with that. So let's say we're part of the crowd. So if we're a part of the crowd and we're just kind of not paying a lot of attention,
talking about Jesus,
not going to him, what would be a personal application that we could make out of that scene? Right? So there has to be a willingness to follow, right? They went to Jesus, so there's that willingness. Yes?
The willingness to climb the mountain
when it's inconvenient. Okay, that's great, but that's not really an application. That gets you halfway the application, right, Julie? So let's think of, okay, what is a mountain in my life right now that I need to climb to get where I need to be? Time.
Discipline.
Obedience.
Yes.
Yes. Right. So to become a true follower, you have to sit down and listen, which is sort of the application that I gave you all before. But also, I mean, think of another mountain, maybe even more general. What if your mountain is, I have been unforgiving to that person three doors down from me for 15 years, and God is putting it on my heart that I need to forgive that person. You think that's measurable? Okay. By next Friday, I have to find a way to go and talk to that person and get that forgiveness in my heart. And, oh, by the way, will y'all be sure and ask me if I did that? Do you see the difference now about what an application is? Do you see how that becomes transformative? It's putting those words and ideas and the great things that we get from the Bible and making it part of our actions. An application is actionable, which makes it transformational. Make sense? So when you come up with your application, ask yourself, is this measurable? That's the first question. Well, yeah, it's measurable. What do I have to do that, and what is my timeline to do that? If you can answer those three questions, you're going to have a good application. I don't have another slide, do I? I think that's probably all. Do y'all have any questions about the inductive Bible study? Some of you all have been doing it a long time, and some of you are new. Oh, in fact, do we have any bookmarks? If you are new to Lamplighters, would you please raise your hand? We have a little gift for you. It's a bookmark, and what this bookmark has on it, as soon as we find them, we will give them to you. What this bookmark has on it is what we just went through. It's a great thing to stick in your Bible or your notebook or something like that. Keep your hands up so they can come around and give them to you. So it will have all these things that I just went over. So you can go, okay, it's time for observations. What does it say that I need to do on the observations? And it'll show you those questions. And it walks that way through it. I find it useful to me after, 12 years of doing this. I still think it's very helpful. So be sure and keep that. And if you at one time had a bookmark and have lost it, we don't have enough to give them to you, but we do have it as a printable on the website. So you can go onto the website and just print it out on a piece of paper and stick it in your Bible. So the last thing that I would say that's not the least, it's the most important, is that after you do this, after you do your Bible study, you need to take a minute to just sit in what you have learned, be thankful for what has been revealed to you, and really just pray about it. Pray about why these things have come to you and, what you need to do about them. And be patient more than anything. The Bible is new every single day that you open it. We will never stop learning from the Word. And so don't open it with expectations of knowing what this is going to say to you. Open it like it's the first time you've ever seen it. And the Holy Spirit will put on your heart what it is that God wants from you to deepen that relationship with Him. I think that's it. So what we're going to do right now is just take a quick little 5-minute break so Jan and I can switch the mics and get that stuff situated. And then be sure and come back in and sit down, because what Jan is going to do is give us the overview, the big picture of the whole study that we're going to do. There's coffee out there. Bathrooms are out there. So we'll see you in 5 minutes.